Hey, hey, good morning, everybody. That Hayes game is strong. It's good. Hey, so let me kind of fill you in as to where we're at in case you haven't been here the last few weeks. So we've been doing a series called Fear Less. The premise of the series is pretty simple because I like books with pictures, so I keep things really simple. For my sake, not for yours. I know you're smart enough to handle it, but I may not be, right? So kind of the idea is that I don't think we'll ever live our lives entirely fearless. I've never met anybody that's entirely fearless. You have a bunch of posers who act like they're entirely fearless, but we're not, right? I don't think that that's our makeup. That's not who we are. Like, things freak us out sometimes. But I do think that we can live our lives and face adversity and face circumstances and face situations and fear less. Right? So thank you, Shelley. The rest of you guys, you just screwed it up, right? We can face adversity and fear less. And that's the thing. Like, we've covered some of the ways that we can do that. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. So we have to choose to replace fear with love and power and a sound mind. And that's what we talked about the first week. And then we talked about how more of the right kind of fear leads to the other kinds of fear, or less of the other kinds of fear that we don't want. And I'll make sense of that in a second, right? So if we fear God appropriately, then we don't have to fear other things. We don't have to fear what other people think about us. Because this is what's amazing about that. They're not. Let me fill that in for you, right? Everybody is so concerned what everybody else thinks about them. Everybody else is, they're just thinking about themselves. They're not thinking about you. So get over it. Don't worry about what other people think about you. Think about what God thinks about you. That's a better place to live your life. And if you have fear of God and what he thinks about you, then you're not concerned with what other people think about you. You're not concerned. In fact, you can even give control. It's such a freeing thing. When you can give control of your life and control of your circumstances and control of the outcome of the things that you're facing to God because you believe that he's in control, it's freeing. And what's amazing is, we know these things, but sometimes we still try to grab the reins because we want to be in control. So stop doing that. Fear the one who is in control. And then the third week, we talked about phobias. Do y'all remember that? Uranophobia. It's some people fear heaven, apparently. And I'm like, I would fear hell a little bit more than I would fear heaven, but that's just me. But we talked about how we don't have to be afraid of our eternity because perfect love casts out fear. And so that's where we've been. Last week, Dan the Man. Y'all give it up for Dan the Man. Where's he at? He's hiding. Anyway, Daniel taught last week. And if you don't know Daniel, Daniel is an engineer. He's got a lot of dry humor, but he is one of the most intelligent people that you'll ever meet. And so he kind of talked about some of the ways that we can alleviate fear in our lives. And what I love about it is, like, you can't really argue with any. You may not like some of the things that he said, but you can't argue with any of the things that he said because it is well thought out, and he will beat you in an argument, I promise. You're not going to win against Dan the Man. So this week, we're going to wrap up our series called Fearless by talking about something that is probably not culturally trendy or relevant. You guys have probably never heard of FOMO. Has anybody ever heard of FOMO? FOMO. Oh, do you guys get on the interwebs? Abraham Lincoln is the one that came up with this on the interwebs. Anyway, FOMO is, in case you're not aware, FOMO is the fear of missing out. And it's kind of it's a newer thing. So for those, this is not a slide. If you don't know, you don't know. So in 2013, the Oxford Dictionary actually created, it's now an official word or term. It was kind of coined or grafted in to the Oxford Dictionary in 2013. And it has its own definition. It's not only an acronym for the fear of missing out, but it has its own definition. And this is the definition according to the dictionary. FOMO is anxiety that an exciting or interesting event may currently be happening elsewhere, often aroused by posts seen on social media. Right? And we've probably all experienced this, even if you didn't know how to articulate it, you didn't know what to call it. Like, you see other people posting stuff and things that they're doing and their perfect family and their perfect food pictures and their perfect vacations and their perfect everything. And then you're like, you feel a little more empty, because you're missing out on the things that they are experiencing, right? So maybe we didn't know what to call it, but I'm sure we've all experienced it. to some level. I read an article, this was in Time Magazine, I read this article about FOMO, and it was really interesting because it talks about how kind of the rise and prevalence of social media has made this, it's an actual problem, because FOMO is actually founded in unhappiness. Because we're unhappy with who we are, we envy and look to the lives of other people to find some satisfaction in ourselves, and it actually only perpetuates the problem because we feel worse about ourselves. And then when you try to compete, what you do is you make this problem cyclical, because then you cause FOMO in other people. It's just crazy, right? So this is where it's fun, not really funny, haha, but funny, ironic, is that the problem is that we're looking at all the fun that we think other people are having, right? We look at all of the pleasure that we think that they're experiencing. It's the whole the grass is greener on the other side analogy. And here's the thing, guys, if somebody's grass is greener, it's probably because they water it, or it's near sewage. One of the two. And you don't know until you get over there and start sniffing around. So what happens with FOMO is that we start comparing ourselves to the fantasy that somebody else is putting in front of you, right? When's the last time you posted an awful picture of yourself on Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat? Like, most people don't do it. Some of you are just too real, and you need to stop that. There's a balance here. But others of you, like, we stage it. Like, I've seen people literally take 50 consecutive selfies so they could get the right one with the right lighting and the right eyebrow raise and, you know, duck face and all those sorts of things. And it's just not a healthy place to live. And the problem with that is, even if it makes you feel better, there's a very good possibility that it's making other people feel worse. So what's this life all about? Because according to Scripture, your life is not your own, and so you have to consider other people. But that's not what we're going to talk about today. Here, there's a quote that sums this up, and then we'll get to what we're really going to talk about today. And this is what it says. If one only wished to be happy, this could be easily accomplished. But we wish to be happier than other people, and this is always difficult, for we believe others to be happier than they are. Isn't that good? I don't know that I fully agree with all of that, but I tend to mostly agree with that. Like, if we just wanted to be happy, we could probably do that. But when we start comparing ourselves to other people, when we start looking at their lives and what they have and their relationships and their jobs and their houses and their finances and this and that and the other, then we really start to feel kind of crappy about what we've done, what we've accomplished, what we've got. And it's just not a healthy place to live. And so that's what FOMO is kind of about. And we could spend we could spend the rest of the year on this particular topic, but we're not going to. What we're going to talk about instead is how I think we misappropriate FOMO. We misappropriate this fear of missing out. I think that the fear of missing out can be a good thing if it's appropriated properly, if we put that fear into the right things. And so if we take an objective look at this, I think that we'll see having a greater level of FOMO toward meaningful things is good, and having less fear of frivolous things is bad. That's a very simple statement, right? But most people don't live their lives like that. Like, let's just be honest. Like, life is not hard. It's not. But how hard do we make it? Like, we make it guilty as charged, right? Like, if you boil it down to just the most essential things that we need, Jesus said to love God and to love people. And then I make it really complicated and convoluted outside of that. Like, what is the meaning of life? And what am I doing here? I don't know. Just love God and love people. It's really simple. So I think many times, you guys, that was a good opportunity for you to be like, preach, that's fine. Bring it. That's right, Pastor. Whatever you want to say, it's fine. I think that many times what we do is we fear on missing out on things that bring temporary satisfaction, rather than things that could change the trajectory and course of our lives, right? Like, we're so caught up in the moment so often, like, and we're more concerned with how we feel than what effect is this going to have on me in 5 years? How is this going to affect my family 20 years down the road? Like, we don't think long term. We think in the moment. We think with pleasure, and we think with emotion, and we think with feeling and satisfaction and contentment and all of these things. And it's just not a healthy way to live. FOMO can be a good thing if we fear on missing out on the things that God has in store for us. Like the thing that we should fear is missing out on the plans that God has for our life, not on the plans that your friends are making on Friday night.
That was good.
I'm taking notes from myself. I'm going to pull this up. Like, that's the thing that we should fear. That's what we should be afraid of is, man, I don't want to get to the end of my life and have to stand before God in judgment. And he's like, what did you do with your life? Like, think about the weight of that. He's given us this gift, this opportunity, this privilege to be alive and consuming oxygen on his earth that he created. It's a gift. What did you do with the gift? Like, let's fear missing out on that. Let's be afraid of not being who it is that he's called us to be. Let's be afraid of not treating people like he's called us to treat people. Right? These are the things that we should be afraid of. And here's the struggle, the frustrating part, is that there is always, somebody say always. This side of the room, you get a 10, y'all get a 6. Everybody say always. 10 and 10. Well done. There's always going to be a trade-off. There will always be a trade-off. Like, you can't have both. You can't most of the time. And I'm going to say all of the time. There's not this opportunity for you to have kind of the temporary pleasure and the long-term gain. It just doesn't work like that. There's always going to be a trade-off. You can't have good and great. In fact, it's been said that good is the enemy of great. Have you guys, y'all read that? Jim Collins, good to great. Good is the enemy of great. Okay. So our lives and walks with God are no different. It's we're not going to have good and have great at the same time. If we want to live lives that fear missing out on what God has for us and the great things that he has in store for us, then we're going to have to go that route, and we're going to have to make decisions based on that end and kind of headed down that path. Or you can live in the moment, and you can be consumed with things that just don't matter. Right, you can be consumed with things that may bring you some attention right now, or may bring you some satisfaction right now, or may bring you some contentment right now, but it doesn't change your life, and it doesn't leave a legacy, and it's not something you're going to be proud of when you stand before God on Judgment Day. Right?
Right.
All right, good. So we want to be people who fear missing out on what God has for us, and you're going to be faced with decisions on a daily basis. Every single day, you're going to be faced with decisions where you have to decide which fear you're going to give in to. You're going to give in either to kind of, oh, no, this temporary fear of missing out, and what are people going to think of me, and what am I going to do with my life, and, you know, these sorts of things. And we think very short term, or we think long term. We think, what is God, what am I going to miss out on with respect to my relationship with God if, and you have to fill in the blank, right? So Jesus had an encounter with a young guy, and this, have you noticed how, like, the Bible gives nicknames to people? And this guy, we don't know his real name, we just know him as the rich young ruler. That's a pretty good name. If you're looking for, like, if you're an artist up and coming and you want a name, Rich Young Ruler, RYR for short. Struggling. So here's their exchange. This is what Jesus said to this guy. This was their conversation. Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 22. And so as he, Jesus, was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And so this is the rich young ruler running up to Jesus, kneeling down before Jesus and asking him, and what I think there's some humility in that, right? This guy is obviously successful. He's accomplished some stuff, and he's running up to Jesus and kneeling down before him and saying, "Teacher, Rabbi, good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And so he's thinking long term, right? He understands the fear that he should have as opposed to the fear that a lot of people have where, you know, we get mixed up with this. And so verse 18, and I've never really fully understood verse 18, but we'll read it anyway. And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." I honestly don't know why Jesus said that. That's one of those things that you're just going to have to ask when you get to heaven. Like, I'm going to ask him what he was writing in the dirt when he knelt down, and, you know. And this is an aside. This is not related at all. But I've heard that he was writing down the sins of the people who accused the woman. And he's like, okay, here's all the things that you've done wrong. Now, if you think that you're better than her, throw the first stone. And they dropped their stones and walked away. So I just want to know. I want to know what he wrote. He may have been playing tic-tac-toe. I have no idea. And so verse 19, he says, you know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Are my kids in here? Honor your father and mother. And he said to him, so this is what Jesus told him. He's like, basically keep the law, do these good things, be a moral person. And the rich young ruler in verse 20 said to him, teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up, since I was a kid, looking at him. And man, this is so rich. This is so good. Verse 21, Jesus' response was, he looked at him and felt a love for him and said to him, one thing you lack, go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. We don't like these parts of Scripture, do we, right? And at these words, in verse 22, at these words, the rich young ruler was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. Now, what happens with this verse oftentimes is people who don't have try to pile on those who do have and say, oh, Jesus doesn't like rich people. But that's not the moral to the story at all. The problem was what the rich young ruler possessed him. Right? The rich young ruler, what he had actually had him. What he thought he had in his hand actually had control of his life. And that's what matters. And where this translates to us and for us, and the way this plays out for us is whatever it is that you have a greater fear of missing out on in your life is the thing that has the potential to separate you from Jesus, right? And it can be different for all of us, right? It doesn't have to be money. It's not exclusive to materialism. It's not exclusive to possessions. For you, it could be relationships, and you're so concerned with what other people think that that could be the thing that separates you from Jesus, and you walk away saddened. Right? And so for us, let's not be narrow focused here and misinterpret what this verse is about. And so I'll kind of give you a personal example of this tension that you're going to face when it comes to FOMO, and then we'll talk about some specifics. So when I was a senior in high school, which was not very long ago, last decade, almost last millennia, that's terrifying. So I was a senior in high school. Shelly invited me to church. Now, I'll kind of give you guys some context, some of the backstory. Shelly has been saved since she came out of the womb, probably got saved in the womb. Like, been a perfect child all of her life, no issues. Her mom only spanked her just because she had to, right? Like, it was, you felt obligated as a parent. You got to beat your kids at least once in a while. But Shelly never did anything wrong. And she was always this incredible Christian girl. And everybody at school knew that she was that. And then I, on the other hand, was a complete idiot. I was a moron, and I did moronic things because that's what morons do, right? And so that's where we were at in our lives at the time that we kind of started talking. And she invited me to church, and I'm like, do you know who I am? And she invited me to church. She's hot. I went to church. There is so much persuasion in beauty. I don't know how that works. And girls typically use this for bad. Shelly used it for good, right? So she invited me to church, and I started going to church with Shelly, even though I was a knucklehead, and I was still a knucklehead doing dumb things. And I started to feel this conviction that my life should change, right? I started to feel this conviction that, hey, maybe what I've been doing isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. Maybe the path that I'm on and the decisions that I'm making isn't the path that I need to be on and the decisions that I should be making, right? So you started to feel the tension, the struggle, the conflict. And so in my life, the tension was I didn't want to miss out on all the fun that I thought I was going to be having and all the parties that I had planned already in my head. Listen, this was the second semester of my senior year. Now, if you don't know, if you've been saved all of your life like Shelly and you don't know, the second semester of your senior year is supposed to be like a party, like the whole thing. Like, I had my prom party planned out. I had my graduation party planned out. I had Tuesday night planned out, Wednesday night planned out, Thursday night planned out. I mean, it was just all a party, right? And so all of the dumb things that come along with that. And so I had to decide if I wanted to fear missing out on that, or if I wanted to fear missing out on the sense that I had that God was calling me to change my life. And it's just, let's be honest, those are, when you're really young and immature and impulsive, that's a hard decision to make. And so finally, I decided that it was better for me to fear missing out on, you know, all the fun that I thought I was going to have and the dumb parties that I probably wouldn't remember the next day, if we're being honest. And so it was the best decision of my life, as many of you have experienced, right? And here's what's crazy. I didn't realize that the things that I feared missing out on weren't as fulfilling until I stopped doing them. Right? I was legitimately convinced that I could not have fun unless I was completely drunk. Like, that was the way that my mind worked, and I was just like, man, I'm just not a fun person unless I am completely flabbergasted. There's a lot of words, and you got to be careful. Right? I haven't always had a sanctified vocabulary, so, you know, sometimes it is a struggle, right? So I thought that I could not have, y'all don't have too much fun with that. Jeez. Right? Every saint has a past. Every sinner has a future. All right. So I had this kind of decision I had this thought that if I wasn't completely wasted, that I couldn't have fun. And I didn't know that I could have fun until I gave up the things that I thought it was controlling me. Right? And it's the thing that I thought that I possessed actually possessed me. You guys see how that works? And so the crazy thing is that at that moment, in that season, when I started to give up some stuff, I had no idea. There were no guarantees as to what my life would look like today. I didn't know that I would marry the most incredible woman on the face of the earth who has been saved since she was in the womb. Right? I had no idea that I would have the most incredible kids on the face of the planet. I had no idea that I would be the pastor of the best church in the world. I didn't know those things. And you don't really know until you go. Right? You don't get to experience it unless you're willing to sacrifice some stuff. There's a trade-off. You don't know what great looks like until you're willing to let go of good. And you're not going to do that if you've got FOMO of the wrong things. Y'all see how that works? Y'all are starting to get it. This is good. So what we're going to do, this is going to be fun for some, offensive for others, and sorry about your bad luck, right? I'm not talking about anybody in our church. I'm talking about other people in other churches, in other cities, in other states, in other countries, in other parallel universes, and those sorts of things. So we're going to kind of look at some of these comparisons of like fearing the wrong things and fearing the right things. And if you know of other people who would hypothetically get offended, don't get offended. Some people fear missing out on friendships more than they fear being who God has called them to be. Right? Some people just, they fear missing out on friendships more than they fear missing out on who it is that God has called them to be. That's why so many people act one way around a certain group of people, and they get around another group of people, and they act an entirely different way. And I'm like, who are you trying to impress? Because as far as I understand things, like, my impression should be toward, I'm trying to impress Jesus, not some homeboy who doesn't even care about me. Right? And man, we know this stuff. We know this stuff, but other people know this stuff. They know this stuff, but they still fall trapped to it. They're so concerned with what their friends think about them that they forget that the greater fear should be what God thinks about them. Like, and man, we know with kind of respect to all, we've heard all of these incredible teachings about character and integrity and doing the right thing when nobody else is looking, and we know all that stuff. Or how about this? Just be who you are regardless of who you're with. Just be who you are, unless who you are needs to be changed, then you need to let Jesus do all that stuff. Right now, if you're a knucklehead and you're doing dumb stuff, then let God change you and then be who it is that he's called you to be, and let that be who you are regardless of who you're with. Y'all tracking with, that's a lot of changing and happening and good stuff, but that's good. So that's the first one. Some people, nobody here, nobody in our city, nobody in our state, nobody in our country, universe, or whatever, they fear missing out on friendships more than they fear missing out on who it is that God has called them to be. Some other people, they fear missing out on being cool or popular more than they fear missing an opportunity to share with others the love that God has for them. Right? We're, again, kind of coming back to this fear of what people think about us. Sometimes we're so afraid with what people think about us that we won't tell them about Jesus. We won't talk to them about the love of God. We won't talk. And a lot of times, they'll throw us a softball. and we'll just watch it die to the earth, right? When you're supposed to tee that freaking thing up and knock it out of the park, right? Like, they'll lob it up for us. You'll be in conversation, and they'll start asking you questions, and it's a softball. But you're so concerned with what they think about you that not you, other people are so concerned with what they think about them that they don't take the time or compassion to share the love that God has for them. And we can't do that. That's not how we're called to live our lives. We're so concerned with what someone might think about them if we share our faith with them, rather than being concerned about the hurt or despair or emptiness or loneliness or pain that people are in. And it's such a selfish thing for us to put our image over their pain. It is so selfish. And I don't know, we don't do that, but other people do that, and we're talking about them, right? Shelly was telling me a story yesterday, day before, I don't know when it was, about my daughter going into school. She was going to FCA early. Why they do things early in the morning, I don't know. Like, my brain, it ain't worth nothing before like 9 o'clock in the morning. It's just, I'll talk to you, but you're getting like Klingon speak. I don't know what's happening. So she was walking in, and they have these classes or these meetings at 7:30, godforsaken in the morning, right? And so she's walking in, and there's a group of girls sitting kind of in the hallway, and she looks over to one of them that she knows, and she's like, "Hey, I'm going to FCA. You should come with me. It's really awesome. They've got food." And that's all you had to say. You had me at hello, right? Food, I'm in. Let's go. And so these two other girls that were with the one girl that she knew kind of started being snarky, and they're like, "Oh, we ain't about that life." They're trying to be cool, right? And convinced the other girl that she didn't need to go. And my daughter, this is probably the most clever thing she's ever said. I was so proud. She was like, "Oh, you ain't about eternal life? Holla." That was one of those proud dad moments, right? But we allow ourselves to be so influenced by what other people think about us. And what matters is what God thinks about us. What matters is what God's done for us. And we should be willing to share that with other people. Some people are more afraid. Don't get offended. Everybody, let's come on. You're signing a clause right now. Nobody is getting offended. Everybody pull out your pen, air right. I will not be offended. Some people are more afraid of not having the newest iPhone than they are afraid of people around the world dying of starvation and dirty drinking water. Right? Some people are more afraid of not having the newest gadget, house, car thing than they are. And man, you know, it's like, I'll be honest with you guys. So when I'm watching TV and a commercial comes on and it's like the pet commercials, right? Have you seen these? And it does the, "In the arms of the angel." And it's like, I'm like, so what I have done is I've learned as soon as it comes on, change the channel. I ain't watching that junk. And you know what we do? We kind of do that with life, too. We change the channel when we find out about needs. We change the channel when we find out about hurts. We change the channel when we find out about kids starving across in the world, right? We change the channel when we find out that literally millions of people a year die because they don't have clean drinking water. Like, they're dying because of this. And what happens is, because we're so afraid of not having the newest thing and being cool because I've got an iPhone X on the way, right? Like, because we're not cool and we have these fears, this is the result of that. The net is people are in debt and people are dying. Like, that's the result. That's the net of that choice of the kind of having the wrong FOMO, the misappropriated fear. What it does is it keeps people in debt and it keeps the church paralyzed from having any kind of effect on poverty. But that's just my opinion, for what it's worth. Some people, we'll move on, because I know that one's just so fun to talk about. Some people are more afraid of missing out on the chance for their kids to be the next Ronaldo or Bryce Harper than they are of missing out on teaching their kids about Jesus. Some people. They spend 7 days a week going to practices, tournaments, and private lessons, but they are obviously too busy to take their kids to church to learn about God. Right, clearly too busy because they fear missing out. Here's the thing. Let me just kind of burst your bubble. Your child's not going to make it. I will burst your bubble. Your child is not going to make it. And if they do, I will gladly be the one to say, man, I was wrong. I'm so sorry. But he ain't going to make it. She ain't going to make it. Right? Do you know, listen, nobody loves football in this room more than I do. Like, there's just nobody that does. Shelly can tell you that for a fact, right? Maybe a close second, I'll give you that. But nobody loves football as much. Do you know how hard it is? Do you understand how hard it is? Hundreds of thousands of kids every year play high school football. Thousands of them actually get a chance. Thousands out of the 360 million people that live in the United States now. Tens of thousands of them play Division III and Division II, and then thousands of those get to play Division I. Hundreds of those actually make it to the NFL. Hundreds out of 360 million. Do the math. You ain't gonna make it. So when they don't make it, what did you teach them about life? What did you teach them about God? What did you teach them about morality? What did you teach them about hope? What did you teach them about doing the right thing with your life and becoming the right person? What are we teaching our kids when we put the emphasis, we put the FOMO on the wrong things? Right? Be involved, do sports, and use that as an opportunity and a platform to reach other people and influence other people. But that's not the end of the game. That's just a means to an end. All right, that's just my default move from now on. So that's what some people are afraid of. Nobody here, right? Other places, other people. Some people, this is the last comparison we'll look at. Some people are more afraid of missing out on the next episode of their show than they are of missing out on what God's word has to say to them. I try not to laugh during that because I think about how preposterous this is, like how ridiculous this is and how true this is, right? Some people, they know more about Netflix than they know about Jesus and the Bible. And these are Christian people, right? People who go to church. Like if we did a poll and we asked you, like, hey, name 20 shows that are on Netflix currently. Like turbo fingers, smoke coming from your pencil because you got it nailed down. Write down 20 verses of scripture. Oh, God. Jesus wept. That's one. That is a verse. Jesus wept. John 3:16, we know that. We all know that. Right? And we start to struggle because we don't really know it, but we know all about frivolous stuff, right? Not us, other people, other churches, other cities, other states, other countries, other worlds. We fear missing out on things that just don't matter. And I think what we should fear missing out on is what God wants for our lives, the plan that he has for our lives. And I know some of these, they seem harsh or extreme, but the point is really simple. Fear missing out on what God has in store for you more than you fear missing out on trivial pursuits or how much fun you think other people are having. Our FOMO should be on missing out on the plans that God has in store for us, right? Our FOMO should be missing out on the greater things that he has for us. And we don't get to experience it unless we're willing to make some sacrifices and do some trade-offs. We've got to be willing to do that. And here's what's amazing. If I asked you, I was having this conversation the other day at the gym because that's where all good conversations take place, in case you haven't noticed. It's because, like, you oxygen deprivation, you're not thinking clearly, and you start talking, and crazy stuff happens, right? So I was having a conversation with a guy the other day, and most people, if you ask them, would you rather have a lump sum of $100,000 or $5,000 a month for the rest of your life? Many people would say, there's research that's been done on this. Many people would say, give me $100,000 lump sum. Why? Because they're concerned with the moment. They're thinking right now what this would do for me and how this would affect me and what this could do for my life right now. But if you start doing really simple math, you learn that within 2 years, you would have already exceeded the $100,000 that you got in the moment. But that's not the way that we think. We get so caught up in the moment that we don't think ahead. And we've got to be willing to sacrifice the $100,000 now to get the $5,000 a month for the rest of our life. Because that's balling. That's living. That's good. And so our FOMO should be, let's fear missing out on the right things. Let's fear missing out on the plans that God has for us rather than the plans that we concoct for our own lives. Like, let's be on that path. Here's the God that can do more than we can ask, think, or imagine. Let's place control. Let's place the fear of our lives in his hands, right? That's where we want to live. And so just as Jesus did with the rich young ruler when he felt this love for him, I think he does the same thing for us. And it's not like God is not angry with us when we make these poor decisions. I think he's probably a little more disappointed. Right, and there's a large delineation between the two. And I think God just looks at us sometimes and he's like, hey, choose fearing me over fearing these other things that don't even matter. Fear what I think. Fear the plans that I have for you. Fear missing out on those more than you fear missing out on things that are going to bring you just a little bit of pleasure. And you've got on the other side of this incredible life that I have in store for you. Let's fear missing out on that more than we fear missing out on frivolous, trivial things. Amen? Let me pray for us. God, thank you so much for everything that you do for us. God, thank you for laying, God, this plan for our lives out in front of us, letting us know, God, what it is that's in store for us. God, we don't know all of the details, but we know it's a life full of you. It's an abundant life. It's a life that you've promised to be with us wherever we go, that you never leave us and you never forsake us. God, and that should be enough. Help us to fear missing out on that kind of life more than we fear missing out on the silly things that we get caught up in here on earth and all of the things that we go through, God, on a daily basis. God, where we just get distracted and we misappropriate our FOMO. Help us, God, to fear you and to fear missing out on the plans that you have for us and just to fear more what you think about us than what other people think about us. God, help us to be people of perspective, people with a level of maturity, God, that we can appropriate our FOMO properly. We love you so much. And it's in Jesus' incredible name we pray. And everybody said, amen.